relationship with God, our Father. And the biggest of these is our perception of our Heavenly Father. And, you know, it really is. I do a lot of spiritual direction, you know, sitting with people and talking with them about where they are in their on their journey with God. And a lot of times what happens is, you know, where there's a breakdown or where there's a barrier that someone is facing, a challenge in their relationship with God, it often comes back to this whole thing about perspective on their Heavenly Father, who God is to them. And where that has come is it has been shaped, their view of God has been shaped by their relationship with their earthly father. And oftentimes this is what we come up against in, you know, being able to really build an intimate relationship with God through prayer. You know, when we focus on the Father, there's this Father anxiety or you know, that comes up, because our earthly fathers haven't always been a great example to us. And so, you know, we have these different ways of seeing God. And so I ask you this morning the question, how do you see God the Father? How do you see him? You know, I made mention of this either last week or the week before, I can't remember. But when I was a youth pastor, we went through, we did a series on God views. And it was a series of videos that we went through. And I actually found a promo for that video series. And I want to share it with you. It's just a 2-minute promo, but it gives us very different perspectives on how we see God. So you may find yourself in one of these perspectives. So let's see what it says. He says,
"My name's God." Or you don't have to tell me your name because I know it already. "I got it written down, this big old black book right here. Oh, yeah. I've been watching y'all with my all-seeing eye right here. I've been watching y'all just like a hawk. Every move you make, every step you take, every bond you break, I've been watching you."
"Well, you rang my God bell, sir, and here I am to step and fetch it. Sorry I was late, just wasn't expecting to hear from you. It is a Saturday. Oh, yes, indeed. I've got your list from the last time we spoke. Let's see. I believe that was Easter. Yes. My name. You see, I've been God for a long time now. Yeah, it's pretty good job being God. Mostly I sit around here a lot on my throne here. Yeah, it's a pretty nice throne here. Look at here. Let me show you. It slides, see? Yeah. Of course, I used to be real busy being God. I remember one time I created an entire universe. It kept me busy for about a week. Yeah. Y'all just don't believe all them silly old stories about me being such an old meaner now. Chip! That's just a bunch of silly old stories from a bunch of old party poopers. Sugar, you just stop in the name of love. yeah, right. I'm God. What do you want? To get off your knees, chick, stand up, tell me what you want, make it snap. Hey! Would you guys hold it down over there, you crazy angels? Yeah, you can rehearse some other time, all right? I'm doing a little business here. Yeah, hallelujah yourself. Yeah, I used to be all over the place doing all kind of great stuff. Well, the church people, they told me to get in this box here. Well, now the church people, they tell me what to do and when to do it. Well, as long as I follow all their little rules, see, and I stay in my little box here, and everybody's very happy. And my dad, my daddy would not let me give my speech.
he started hugging me.
All right. Well, you know, some of those depictions there, I mean, it's Kurt Kloniger is the name of the guy who put that series together. And, you know, the way that we often see God is through the eyes, again, of how we see our father figure in our life. And sometimes it can be like that mean sheriff who's out to get us for every sin that we commit. It could be like our personal butler, someone who's there to cater to our every need. It could be a tired old man that we see, you know, God created everything and then he retired. You know, he's no longer as powerful as he was, or he's no longer concerned. He's just set the world in motion and, you know, that's it. Then sometimes we see God as that laissez-faire party animal kind of God who just lets everything go and let the good times roll. Everything is okay. Just, you know, or he's the distracted mechanic. Too busy to care. Doesn't have time. Or we see God as in this little tiny box because we perceive him as the only the way that we see him. And we have all kinds of limits that we place on God. Or, as that last clip showed, didn't really go into detail, but that in that one, he talks about the, you know, what Jesus said, like the prodigal son coming home to the father whose arms are wide open and gracious and loving and ready to receive back the prodigal. How do we see God? How do you see God? See, that is the question. And Jesus understood that perception is everything. How we perceive something often becomes the reality for us, or how we perceive someone often becomes the reality for us until something shifts, something changes in how we see that person or how we see God. And, you know, I can relate to this because, you know, from the standpoint of my own dad. You know, when I was a child, when I was really young, I saw my dad through the eyes of a child, right? Someone who was working hard, someone who was resourceful, someone who was a very strict disciplinarian. My dad was a very strict, he was 6'4", and he was very big man. So as a little child looking up to him, it was like, he's a scary guy if he gets upset or needs to discipline us. And sometimes it seemed like he was very distant. And, you know, he didn't, it seemed again like he didn't spend a lot of time with us. I know he did. I mean, he took us to hockey, he had us in hockey, and he had us doing all kinds of other things. But, you know, those times, when I think back, were few and far between. And I didn't realize until I was in university that the way my father was through the eyes of my childhood eyes was not the totality of who he was as a person. And I remember I had to do a course, in one of the courses that I was taking in university, I had to do an assignment. And the assignment was to interview someone who was going through midlife or had gone through midlife. And I thought, I'll talk to my dad. And so I went and I asked him if he would be okay with doing this interview for this course. And he said, of course. And so we sat down. And for the first time, I started asking him all kinds of questions about what it was like for him as a a young father, and then as he, you know, got, as we all got older, and then as he came into midlife, you know, what it was like for him. And my goodness, when I started to sit down, when I sat down and talked with him, I began to see him in a new light. I began to understand why he worked so hard, why he didn't always have time for us as kids. I began to see him very differently as I got to know him, and I realized I want to know him more as a friend, as a mentor, someone who I can learn from, and you know. You know, I that was when I realized, you know, where there's a wiles, there's a way, because my dad, that was my dad's slogan, you know, where he could, you know, figure out anything. And I wanted to be like him. But that perspective changed. And what was the difference? It was the difference between observing from a distance, young child, scared, you know, looking at my dad from a distance, and learning to observe him, knowing him up close and personal. But it had to change. My perspective on my dad had to change. You know, I thank God for my dad. He wasn't perfect. He never was. And he wouldn't be until he passed away 2 years ago and is now in heaven. And all those human limitations are gone because he's now with his Savior and Lord. But you know, he wasn't supposed to be perfect. My father wasn't supposed to be perfect here on earth. Because there's only one father that's perfect. And that's the one that Jesus talks about when he says, when you pray, say, Father, our Father in heaven. And you know, when Jesus adds those next two words, you know, when you pray, say, Father in heaven. He had a purpose for those words. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, you know, Jesus taught his disciples that our Father lives in a realm where he is not bound by human limitations. You know, our perspective, the way we see God, is based on our human limitations. But God is not bound by those limitations. And so, you know, he's not like an earthly father who sometimes can be distant, unreliable, overbearing, proud, too strict, flawed, or imperfect. Did that describe anybody's father? Experience with them? Yeah. No, he's not like that. The Father that Jesus is talking about is perfect in every way. Remember, you know that song that we sing? He's perfect in every way. He's perfect in every way to us. He's a good, good Father. He's perfect in every way. He lives and reigns from a perfect place, and that place is heaven. That place is heaven. You know, what Jesus is saying here goes back to, you know, when he says, when he teaches his disciples, say, Father in heaven, he's taking us back to some Old Testament prayers. Prayers that anchor us back in the Old Testament, in our understanding of God, the maker, the creator of all things, the God of heaven. The first one is from 1 Kings 8, 22 to 24, where Solomon is dedicating the temple in Jerusalem. After he has built this place where God can dwell on earth, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your ways, you have kept your promises to your servant David, my father. And with your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. You know, Solomon, when as he as he was opening, as he was dedicating this beautiful place where God could dwell on earth, he reminds everybody that there is no other God like our God, the God of heaven and earth. And then Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 1, 4 to 6, when Nehemiah heard that all of Jerusalem, you know, was in ruins, and you know that he was, they were still in exile. The people of God were still in exile. He says this when he prays. He says, "I heard these things about Jerusalem being in ruins. I sat down and wept for some days, and I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, 'O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ears be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you today, day and night, for your servants, the people of Israel.'" Again, this... I bring these prayers up because what these prayers remind us of or acknowledge to us is that the awesome uniqueness of our Father in heaven. He is the God who created everything. He is the God who sustains everything. He is the God who is awesome in his holiness and his presence on earth. And he is able to bring about redemption for his people, because he is not bound by the limitations of this earth, because he is the God of heaven and earth who created all. In Psalm 139, David goes into great depth to share the character qualities of our Father in heaven. And I'm sure you've heard this passage of Scripture read many times before, but as I read this today, Psalm 139, I want you to really just focus on how David describes the character, the nature of our Heavenly Father. Okay, so just listen and take in the character qualities of God the Father from this psalm. "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Oh, and when I awake, I am still with you." You know, when we take time to just reflect on a passage like that, relating to who God is and what his character is to us, it's amazing what we discover. What are some things that really stood out for you today from that reading of Psalm 139? What did you take note of relating to the character of our Father in heaven? Anybody want to share? What came to you? What stood out for you about our Father in heaven? Character qualities. What is God our Father like? Anybody? God is limitless. We have access to it. He desires to meet with us. What else? What else? Anybody else?
God gives us a choice in life. We can choose good or bad, but if we choose the wrong path, we're going to go downhill. If we choose the right path, we're going to go right.
Okay. God has given us this choice, and God himself goes with us on that path. Whether we go to the highest mountain, spiritual highs, or whether we go to the lowest depths, spiritual lows, he's with us. Always. What else? What else? Lauren. He knows us intimately. Every single thing about us. Wow. Our Father in heaven knows us. What else? What else comes to mind? Yes. Yeah. God the Father, our Father in heaven, knows us so intimately that it was even while we were still in our mother's womb, he knew, and actually he was the one who knit us together, David says, in our mother's womb. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made by who? The Father's hand. You are uniquely who you are because of God the Father's work from the time of conception until the time that you were born. And not only that, but all through your life, he has been guiding you and directing you to the place where you are right now. And the choices that you make right now, well, you know, with him are the ones that will continue to lead you on. And, you know, all the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. Our Heavenly Father knows us so intimately that he knows every single moment of the days of our life right through until the day that we die and go with to be with him in eternity. That's how intimately God the Father knows us. So these are just a few things. All-knowing, omnipresent, all-powerful, creator of life, ever desiring to bless us with his presence. He always desires to get to know us, to pour out his blessing on our life and guide us along that path of life. You know, this is the kind of Heavenly Father Jesus desires for us to get to know more intimately. When he says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. And then as he continues on in his prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples to acknowledge the essential character of our Heavenly Father and indicates how we are to respond to him. And you know, as he continues in the prayer, each petition or each part of the prayer highlights something unique about the Father and the nature of our relationship with him. And so this morning, I'd like us to look at one of those character qualities of God and the nature of God and to also our response to him. So he says, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Which raises a question today. What do you believe is God's central attribute or character quality? What do you think? What have you been taught? What do you know? What do you think? What is God's central quality or attribute? Joan. Grace? With grace. Okay. Grace. That's an amazing quality of God. Yes. Yep. Okay. The humility that God demonstrated in Jesus coming to earth to die on the cross for our sins. Yeah, okay. Grace, humility, all great character qualities of God. Anybody else? What is the central quality of God? Pardon? Faith? His faithfulness. Yeah. His consistency, his faithfulness. His holiness. Okay. You know, there are all kinds of character. I'm surprised that one character quality didn't get expressed. Because it's often the one that we think is the central quality of God. Character quality. And that is, no, love. Love. Right, a lot of people have been taught that, you know, God is love, right? And where do we get that? Well, many would say that God is love, and then we base upon that upon 1 John chapter 4 verses 7 to 12, where we read this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." You know, when we read that, we think, oh, God is love. And that's the central attribute of God. Well, you know what? I don't want to burst your bubble. God is a God of love, and he's a God of grace. He's a God of humility. He's a God of faithfulness. But at the center of who God our Father is his holiness. His holiness. There's something more than just love guiding the actions of God the Father. God is a holy God. He's a holy being with a holy purpose. And that's why Jesus was sent as our atoning sacrifice. That's why Jesus was sent, to show out of grace and out of love and out of humility. That's why Jesus came, was because he was there to fulfill the requirements of a holy God. And we get that all from the Old Testament. The Old Testament, you know, how God the Father revealed himself in the Old Testament was a God who was holy, holy, holy. Both in the Old Testament and New Testament reveal that God's central attribute is his holiness. The Father is perfect in his holiness. There's no flaw in his character. Nothing impure about him. His nature is likened to pure light. That yellow light that you put in your pictures, Joan. There's no shadow of darkness that can reside in his presence. You know, in that Psalm 139, there, you know, when the darkness is overcoming me and you know, I feel like I'm in that very dark place, even the darkness is as light to you, God, says the psalmist. Why? Because God lives in this holy light. And in his perfect, holy love, the Father desires to establish a relationship with someone who is as imperfect as you and me. See, that's what's really unique about this character quality of God that Jesus emphasizes right off the bat. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You are holy. You are holy God. And this holy God desires for us to come into his presence. And we see this in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, where Isaiah has that beautiful vision of God, high and lifted up. And it's really interesting. Listen again and see how God, this holy God, interacts with human beings, with you and with me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And I cried out, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Isaiah, in this vision, sees God high and lifted up in heaven, our Father in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is your name. And your holiness and your glory fill the temple in heaven and pour out down to the earth. And when we see God for all his holiness, what is the response of Isaiah's heart? The response of Isaiah's heart is, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am completely undone." Why? Because Isaiah saw God for who he was. Holy, holy, holy. And he saw him in his awesome splendorness, his majestic, being majestic in his holiness. And Isaiah responds, what? In humble prayer. You know, Christopher talked about humility, right? When we see God as being holy, majestic in his holiness, when we see God our Father as the one who is perfect in his holiness, what is the impact on us? It's to recognize who we are before him. And Isaiah responds in humble prayer, "Woe to me, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So what is our response to a holy God, a holy Father? Seeing him for who he is helps us to see ourselves, and we examine ourselves. And, you know, there's a whole process that you can go through every day as you pray. You know, it's called the prayer of examine, where you just go. I'm not going to go through the whole prayer right now, but you can, if you want to get more understanding of this prayer of examine, Lord, I see myself for who I am today. You know, where have I sinned before you today? Where have I been not helpful with other people today? Where have I been this? Where are those sins that have easily entangled me today, Lord? Help me to see myself for who I am, so that I can do what? So that I can pour them, those things, back to you in a life of repentance. Holy repentance in response to the holiness of our Father. You see, Jesus is very, very specific in how he said, you know, we see God as our Father in heaven, who is holy. And our holy God desires a relationship with us. So, you know, that requires of us to look into our lives and to respond back to him in a desire to be holy. Because we are imperfect men and women meeting with a perfect God. Isaiah felt like he was going to die from the guilt and the shame as he saw himself for who he was. But God initiated a cleanup operation for him. You notice that? As he sees himself, as he sees who God is, as he sees himself for who he is, then God says, "Angel, seraph, take a coal from the altar and touch his lips, cleanse him." Holy cleansing. Holy cleansing. Holy cleansing fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He consumes the sin that's in us. As we repent to him, as we draw near to him, he draws near to us, and he brings about his healing and his forgiveness. Holy God seeking to bring us into that holy relationship with him. Your guilt is taken away. Your sins are atoned for. And what more beautiful picture of that than when Jesus came and as the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, as Hebrews 1:1-3 tells us that in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in his various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he anointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So, you know, we have this vision of Isaiah back in the Old Testament, but his vision is actually of Jesus, the one sitting on the throne. Jesus is the one that says to the angel, "Take the fire from that holy altar that where I've laid down my life and touch his lips, and his sins are forgiven." An eternal sacrifice that Jesus made for us in heaven. That cleanses us, makes us holy before God, and brings us into that divine exchange. That this divine exchange of Jesus' holiness for our unrighteousness. And now we are clothed in his righteousness, his holiness. And so we can come into that relationship with our Heavenly Father and live in his presence. This is what Jesus is aiming for here, for his disciples to understand. So when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As Jesus instructed his disciples how to pray, he emphasized the importance of approaching God the Father with reverence and humility. For our Father in heaven is a holy God, perfect in all his ways. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our flaws, he knows our inadequacies, yet he desires for us to draw near to him so that he can purify our hearts and teach us his holy ways. As Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1:13 to 16, therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So what is the bottom line today? It's to draw near to the Father. The more time we spend in the presence of our Holy Father, Heavenly Father, the more we will see God for who he is. And in discovering who God is, we will see ourselves for who we really are. And the more intimately we know the Father, the more we will desire to be like him, to be led by him, and to follow his holy example. So as we close today, this is again the word from Peter. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come into your presence and to study your word together, to understand who you are, Holy Father, so that we can be more intimately aware of who we are and how you have loved us, how you have shown your grace towards us, how in humility you have come to us, and in faithfulness you have redeemed us. Lord Jesus, just guide us now to take these things into our hearts, and in our prayer life with you, be drawn to that place of an examining of our hearts before you as we grow in your grace, grow in your peace. Lord, lead us, guide us, we pray, in all these things. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.